Please turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 3. As we continue our series in the book of James. I also want to thank Mingoli. Once again, we are so thankful that you're here with us. And Sam McDonald, dear friend in seminary, it's good to get to talk to you again. And just wonderful to see how the Lord works. He's working all over this world. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, group. And also for the 45 years, what a special Sunday. Praise the Lord. What a great God. What a faithful God. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. It's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you once again and we humble ourselves. We cannot change our hearts, so we need for you to change us. And that's good news, because you're a God who loves to change hearts when we come to you broken. Break us and rebuild us by the power of Jesus and by His Spirit. Amen. Taming the tongue. Nothing will show us our need for the power of Jesus Christ like trying to tame your tongue. James is making it very clear as he is discipling this church and as he's discipling us that you can tame animals, you can tame wild beasts, but you do not have the power to tame your tongue, which drives us to something much greater than our own power. The only way to tame a tongue is to have your heart tamed. The only way that we can change the way we speak, and the way we speak is often so destructive in ways that we don't even understand and we don't even know the ripple effects of our speech. The only way to change our speech is to have our hearts changed. So this morning we're going to talk about two things. The bad news, the destructive power of the tongue, and what James has to say about that. But then the good news, the redemptive power of the tongue. And in it, my hope, and I believe it was James's hope, that we would not only be convicted, brought to the end of ourselves when we realize how wicked we really are, but to a God that can make the spring fresh. God can change our hearts, and as He changes our hearts, He will change our tongues. Let's look at our first point. This is a two-point sermon. I told the earlier service that doesn't mean it's going to be shorter. Sorry. I wish it did. the destructive power of the tongue. First thing he's talking about is just the sheer power of the tongue. And he begins in verse 1 about teachers. Apparently there were a number of people that wanted to be teachers in James's day. They wanted to be teachers in the church, preachers in the church. And he said, be careful. Not many of you should want to be teachers because a teacher has power. And if you go up there and you're destructive, you will be judged strictly, more strictly than others. Because the tongue is so powerful that it can make a person or it can break a person. So the gospel, when it's preached clearly, can change the world. But when the gospel is not preached clearly and false doctrine is preached, it can destroy people, as we've seen. As Dr. Cruz alluded to in his prayer, a denomination can be torn apart by false teaching. So he says, beware, don't rush up to the pulpit. And that's humbling for me as I preach to you this morning. Because the tongue is powerful. It's small, but it's powerful. Look what he says in verse 3. We put bits into the mouths of horses. And when we do that, we can make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Enormous animals. We were in St. Louis this time last year, and we saw the Clydesdales. These massive, house-like horses being controlled by a little bit in their mouth. James had seen that too, these great creatures, even if they weren't Clydesdale. He saw great horses, these enormous creatures being controlled by a little bit in their mouths. And he says the tongue is that powerful. He'd also seen ships in the first century that could carry up to 100 people. But it was being controlled by a little piece of wood. Big things can come in small packages. You know that, don't you? This is true of peppers. I love peppers. But a banana pepper, it's big, not hot. When I was a kid, I used to like eat banana peppers because I was like, I was eating a pepper, right? It felt really tough. That's kid stuff. I've seen a pepper this big bring a grown man to his knees. See, something as small as a little pepper can absolutely ruin the rest of your meal. And one word can tear someone apart. As Bob Dylan said, I hurt easy, I just don't show it. You know you can hurt someone and not even know it. They're so powerful. The tongue is so powerful that it hurts people with its power. Don't many of us in this room have stories that go all the way back to junior high or to elementary school where a friend or a so-called friend or a teacher or a coach or a parent, they said something and it marked you. It hurt you. And it still hurts to this very day. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. As the kids say, whatever. That's not true. A pepper can bring a man to his knees, and a word, a mean word said from the right person, aimed right at the heart, can define someone. If you are told that you're a loser by someone who has power over you in your life, guess what you're going to think about yourself? You are a loser. They're powerful. Words are powerful. They're small. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it is set on fire by the flames of hell. No uncertain terms there, right? It's powerful to hurt the marriages in this room. Can bear testimony to that. Families. But they're also powerful to help. Can't you, just like me, can't you remember things that someone said to you in your life and they maybe didn't even mean to say it, but they said an encouraging word, and it was aimed to help you, and it made you come alive. They maybe didn't know it, but it set you free, maybe from years of bondage. Words are so powerful that they can bring the sunshine into someone's world. When I was growing up, I grew up around guns, hunting, especially at my grandparents' house. But I remember my granddad taught us to always treat a gun like it was loaded. Always treat a gun like it's loaded. Do we treat our tongues like they're loaded? When oftentimes I speak when I should shut my mouth. They're powerful. That's what James is saying. They're small, but they can steer the ship, direct the whole course of a life. And they're destructive. James is talking about the power of the tongue in destroying the church. He says it's a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire. It's a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. I remember watching a movie years ago. Don't remember the name of the movie or even really who was in it. I just remember it was about a forest fire. It was one of those movies that almost everyone died but one person. And this forest fire, enormous, acres and acres of forest, were just started by this one little cigarette that's just nonchalantly just sort of flicked out into the forest. And it set the whole movie. The whole movie was about this fire that blazed and blazed and destroyed lives. James is saying that one word in a church can set a church on fire. One word in a family can set a family on fire. I'll give you some examples. Gossip. As Kevin Twitt, the campus minister at Belmont, said, RUF at Belmont, gossip is the art of confessing other people's sins. And it's delicious. Now, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, you didn't? Oh, well, I better tell you. It's so sad, isn't it? And gossip can blaze and blaze in a church, and wild rumors can go out. It's because of our tongue that's connected to our heart. Slander, taking someone else down in a conversation, murdering someone's reputation. And in the South, you all know, we say, bless his heart. Bless her heart. Lies. Little lies, big lies, how they break trust in a relationship. What damage they do, they're like a dirty bomb. Cutting words. Making fun of someone for what they're like or what they look like. Even as adults, we can say things that we think are funny, and I'm so guilty of this. We think are funny about someone's idiosyncrasies or maybe someone's appearance, and we kind of jab. But you know, how do you think that person feels when they walk away? That we can say things that we think are funny, but we may be adding to the self-condemnation in the life of somebody about what we say. Flattery. Like I said in the first service, I love flattery. A buffet of flattery. I take some of this and some of this too. It's so delicious. What a wonderful job. And I love heaping flattery on people. But how often do we mean what we say when we flatter someone? You can tell. You know someone who doesn't hand out compliments? But when they give you one, it weighs 1,000 pounds. Words are powerful, and words are destructive, and they're like a loaded gun. And IPC, folks, we're no exception, including the man who's preaching right now. That we, listen to this, we have the power with our tongues to make or break each other. Well, that brings us to the real problem. Our tongues reveal our hearts. Our tongues are connected to our inner person. The reason we speak, just as Jesus said, it's out of the heart that flows our evil. The tongue is the great revealer. I knew this when I had to do a tongue assignment for a discipleship program that I'm a part of. And the tongue assignment was, don't sin with your tongue for 24 hours. I was like, I know I'm supposed to say, well, that'll be just so hard. But inwardly, I was like, 24 hours? I bet I'll do okay. I just won't talk to anyone. I wish I could say I made it 60 seconds. The tongue is a messenger of the heart. Here's the issue. The tongue is saying what's going on in your heart. It's like one of those banners, those things that are constantly going across the screen on all the 24-hour news stations. Here's what's going on in the world. Here's all the terrible stuff that's going on in the world right now, constantly. That is what our tongue is like. It is a banner that's telling you what's actually going on in my heart all the time, over and over and over again. And here's the truth. The reason I gossip is because I want to make myself feel better. I don't want to run someone else down. The reason I lie is because I'm a liar. The reason I slander is because I hate. It's like an accent. You know, I love accents because accents tell you where someone's from. You know, I've lived in various parts of the South, Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi. I think that's it. But each part of the South has a different accent. You know, in Arkansas, you get the light. Take a ride at the light. But Mississippi, where we were, and Jackson in the Delta, it's a much more beautiful accent. They say things like, home. Places in Texas will have a different accent. You may hear the word wash in Texas. I love accents. They're fascinating to me. You know why I like accents? Because they tell you where someone's from. And here's the bad... You want to hear the bad news? The bad news is this. The reason you and I are destroying each other with our tongues, because you know where we're from? You know where our hearts are from? The pit. The great revealer. Oh, great, Richie. So what do? We're a lot worse than we think. That's what I'm saying. That we have restless tongues, as Sinclair Ferguson said, we have restless tongues because we have restless hearts. So we go to our second point, the redemptive power of the tongue. And we need transformation. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Verse 10. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? The same spring? He's saying that the heart has to be changed. You can change a whale, you can tame a whale, but you cannot tame your tongue. Have you ever been caught talking about someone or caught in a lie and you feel so undone and so humiliated and you feel so dirty? That we need something greater, something more powerful. Folks, we're at a dead end. When we were in Jackson, we had a problem in our house that we were living in. There was a bit of a sag in the kitchen where the refrigerator was. You had a refrigerator, and the refrigerator was kind of facing down like this. And I know Bob Vila. But I said, I think we have a problem. I think we need to call someone, honey, and have that looked at. It probably needs a couple of boards or something, my expert opinion. The guy came in, moved the refrigerator, looked at it about 5 seconds and said, "Your whole floor is rotten to the core." Now, when you say rotten, I'll tell you what he meant by rotten. The next day, I walk into my kitchen, and that same man is standing in a hole in my kitchen where my refrigerator used to be. And then he ducked down into the hole because everything underneath it was rotten. Here's what I'm saying. Our hearts are rotten. They're rotten to the core. And God is, what He's doing, listen this morning, He's driving us to the end of ourselves. Just as James has been doing this whole book, your religion is worthless if it's just a religion of show, if it's just a religion that appears right. I want your heart. Your heart has to be changed. I want a relationship with you. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. He's driving us to the end of ourselves. The jig is up. What we need is not better self-esteem or more willpower. What we need is a new heart. What we need is to put our hands over our mouths and to say, "God, have mercy on me. Would you have mercy on me?" The problem's not just with my tongue, it's with my heart. I'm at a dead end here. Good news. God loves people at dead ends. He loves people that cry out for mercy. Which brings us to our second aspect of the redemptive power of the tongue, the power to heal. Larry Crabb says that encouraging words are inspired by love for the other person and are directed toward that person's fear. Words that heal are directed toward that person's fear. No one did that better than Jesus. Jesus is the only person that came into this world and consistently, day after day, came into the lives of people and found their fear and didn't exploit them. Didn't make fun of them. But He came near and He says, "I love you and I care about you. Peace be to you at your most broken place. I love you." That's what Jesus was about. And that, those are the words that heal. Those are the words that He said to a woman in Mark chapter 5, and I'll read it to you. There had been a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd, touched His cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch His clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him, and He turned around, and he said, "Who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you?" His disciples answered, "And yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus kept looking around. He didn't pay attention to what they were saying. He kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, listen to this. This is a dead end. Knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet, trembling with fear. And she told Him the whole truth. And do you know what Jesus said to her? He didn't say, "Why did you touch me? You sick woman." He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." Has Jesus said those words to you? Have you heard the words of peace to your greatest need and you just reach out to Jesus? Have you been healed by the words of Jesus Christ, who loved to speak into someone's fear, not exploit, not make fun, not gossip, not lie, but to heal? Have you heard His word of healing to your darkest secret? Because it is not until you hear the word of peace that you can speak the word of peace. Folks, people that are mean have mean hearts. And their hearts are sad and bitter. And what they need from us is not just to write them off. What they need from us is to be like Jesus, to go in and find there's fear underneath that meanness. Be at peace. Do you need to hear the peace of Jesus Christ in your soul this morning? That we would, as Paul says, build others up according to their needs. Do you hear this? Build others up according to their needs so that it may benefit those who listen. This is when Independent Presbyterian Church becomes a place of fresh water. When we start speaking to each other, not to manipulate, not to control, but to according to each other's needs, that we're thinking about their needs just like our Savior Jesus did. To build up. That we never need to be the kind of church that when you leave here, you wonder, are they talking about me? Churches that sin with their tongue aren't safe places. We must be a safe place so that the world will reach out to us and that we will not turn around and say, get away from me, but we'll turn around and say, be at peace. Jesus loves you. How can we help you? How can I love you? And here's the way it comes back to James's message. That the only way that you can stop cursing your brother who's made in the image of God while you bless God is if you have truly experienced the goodness of Jesus Christ. Not just once, but every single day. Because every day you reach out to Him, He's always willing. He's always ready to hear you. He's always ready to heal you. He's always ready to touch you. You see, our words reveal our hearts. And God's Word reveals His heart. Our word reveals our heart and God's word reveals His heart. In other words, God is saying to the world, do you want to know what I'm like? Do you want to know really what I'm like? I have a word for you. In times past, I spoke through various prophets. But in these last days, Hebrews chapter 1, I have spoken to you through my Son. Do you want to know what God is like? All of our different ideas, hear this word, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus Christ, who after the people mocked Him and beat Him, you know what He said? Forgive them, Father, they do not know what they're doing. And He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The man whose lips never spoke a lie. We need to close our mouths and listen to what God has said through His Son, Jesus. And then and only then, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will we ever be able to be the kind of church that builds with our words. May God do it! Let's pray. Lord Jesus, bless us. Enable us for Your glory because we want the world to see how great You are and how wonderful You are. Pour out Your blessing on us. Amen.